This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's your sports bros with you on a Monday.
Sup?
Big Sook is right over there.
Sup? Right back at you.
It's me, Rob, Mike Lynch, $50 richer today as he sits over in the captain's chair over there.
Partially because of you, $25 richer because of you, $25 richer because of Jason Swigard.
That's right.
And I made that's giving me no credit then.
Well, I mean.
Yeah, man, you pulled the trigger on
you,
it.
But you would have never bet on Colin Morikawa without my or Swag's
input.
Thoughts. I feel like you owe Rob like $375 a piece.
And I'll take it.
I feel like that's a fair amount. $375.
It'll buy me a coffee.
I was going to say maybe like a chicken sandwich or something.
I think he should send it to his parents, though, because they put $100 on Matthew Wolf upon my recommendation.
Yes.
And they came dangerously close to winning $10,000.
Now, here's the thing. If that would have happened.
Yes.
Do Ma and Pa Lynch, do they cut you a little piece of that cheese? They let you wet your beak?
They should, but they wouldn't.
I mean, they might. They're nice people, but
I feel like
that's
code for no. They won't.
They would have never found him or bet on him without me.
I feel like if you give someone a tip. Or a suggestion, like if you did that to me, I don't bet on golf. Never have, never will. But if you told me that.
I hadn't until Sunday, but.
And I won 10
G's. Maybe I'll go out 1-0.
Look, I'm not saying I give you a grand or something.
Yeah, no. Like,
I slip you a C note or something.
Send me a $50 gift card.
Yeah, right?
To Jiffy Lube.
That's Jiffy Lube.
Or something. I don't know. You know
what
I mean.
Would you like me to Venmo you some money?
No. Oh, God, no.
Oh, okay.
No.
I'm just saying.
No.
10 G's.
But if you did, I mean.
10 G's, no. you got to slip someone a little something,
no,
right?
I'm,
there's
got to
be
totally
a thank you note, like maybe a nice bottle of wine or something. Some Camus.
Yeah.
No, just
yeah.
Something.
Yeah. You know.
just saying.
But he
they
didn't win.
They
so
didn't win.
So. Doesn't matter. But Mike did. Mike Lynch is riding a high today.
Yeah.
Coming up here on Sports Talk over here.
What?
We got college football talk.
We went East Coast all of a sudden. All right.
Yeah, because they're going to cancel college football, looks like.
Well.
Or maybe not.
Some of us.
We also need to get to you boys as chumps talk.
Oh, yeah. It got heated. It got
you
into
boys as chumps.
Got into Instagram and, you know.
Sisters got involved.
Yeah, sisters and wives and girlfriends. And
I want to get to this. This is juicy.
Yeah, it is.
So that probably means our PGA Championship segment will have to be tomorrow, but that's okay.
Yeah, good thing we have a show tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And as far as we know, the one after that.
We'll get it in. Coming up tonight in the club, what are the odds of catching COVID on a plane? Somebody has put the numbers to that.
Ooh, I had a buddy of mine coming back from Spokane while he was in Coeur d'Alene, and they had to clear the plane because two bros wouldn't mask up.
Jesus.
That just is a whole thing.
Ruins everybody's day.
Oh.
Travel plans.
Yeah.
God.
Just two people. They got
selfish.
They got on the plane knowing. So at one point they were wearing masks, got on the plane, took them off. That's the part I don't understand.
And then they're told to put them back on and they don't?
Yes.
Like and so then everybody.
You had to have a mask to get on the airplane, right? It's mandatory.
Yeah,
you had
right.
to wear it.
So they had them.
So they had them.
Of course they had them.
And then at some point between that and takeoff, they were like, hey, you got to put on your mask. And he said there were two people, two bros that were traveling together that refused. And so they had to take everyone off the plane.
Aside.
And the plane couldn't leave. Wow. Got delayed like 3 hours.
That sucks.
That's brutal.
Well, it just baffles me. Like,
and those,
I get that you don't want to wear the mask, but you're on the airplane, which means you had the mask. How did you think that was going to play out? Did you think that they were going to be like, oh, well, I guess these guys don't want to wear them, so everything's fine.
And if you're other patrons on that plane.
Oh.
Like.
How does that not end in violence?
Yeah.
Like, you've had a long day, right? You're trying to get home. You know, you just. Right. And you, I guarantee.
Whatever the scenario, maybe somebody's got an emergency they're flying to.
Yeah.
You know?
You know there's just going to be a lot of. Wear the bleepity bleep mask. And then, of course, that probably causes them to bow up even more and like, you can't tell me what to do, America.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
Shouldn't they just remove them and then move on?
I don't. They had to clear the
get
plane.
Get rid of them.
Yeah, cleared the plane.
That's stupid. Yeah. I'm going to change their protocol right now, live on the air.
just boot them off.
That happens, get two muscly guys with masks and get them out of there. And then everybody else can go about their day.
Yeah, had to clear the whole thing.
Stupid. All right, well, anyway, that's the club. Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Number five.
Okay, Barry, reports are surfacing that Major League Baseball may consider a bubble plan for its playoffs.
Yeah.
Because, playoffs.
Well, the terrifying thing is, like, you've had, what, the Cardinals have played, like, five games. Like, we've had major, like, outbreaks here, and games have been shut down. The Marlins, obviously the Cardinals, the Phillies have had it, but we know that they said that the revenue that's tied to the postseason is over 60% of the TV revenue, which is why they can't push it back any further. They need to get into the playoffs. And the fear is that you're losing money. Every game you're playing, Major League Baseball is losing money. And the fear is the only way to recoup that is to get to the postseason. Can you imagine the kerfuffle if you're losing money every single game, then you get to the postseason and you have to cancel it because of COVID?
Yeah.
That would not be good.
So if they could do a bubble, they also are concerned that, you know, October coincides with the start of flu season.
Sure.
And so they're really worried about that.
Well, imagine all the, you know, like, we all get sick, right, during the fall. Every one of us. Like, you have a day where you don't feel very good. How the hell are you going to determine, like, hey, I don't feel very good. Is
right.
that COVID? Do I? Because we all come into work sometimes, you don't feel great. You can't do that under these circumstances.
Yeah. How many people are going to be taking that rule and running with it this fall?
Exactly.
Yeah, I got the sniffles. I'll be out 2 weeks. Meanwhile, like, booking all these tea times.
Exactly. I don't feel that well, but until I can get a test, I can't get a test for 3-4 days, but I can't come in.
Oh, Patriots note, they have signed veteran running back Lamar Miller to a 1-year deal.
Is he going to replace one of the 9 defenders out for them?
Oregon Live reports 9 Oregon Ducks tested positive for the COVID in June. This is according to university documents obtained by the Oregonian via a public records request.
Yeah, Oregon's been pretty mum about everything going on in their COVID.
And that
world.
Pisses the Oregonian off. They love nothing more than to file the public records request. They love this.
Well, Oregon,
they
Oregon,
do it all the time.
Oregon does the cone of secrecy.
Yeah.
Better than just about anyone.
And Oregon, they do.
Yeah,
and Oregon Live doesn't like
off.
It.
No.
I love
we
this.
We will find out.
I'm here for that battle.
Number 3.
Pelicans had a rough bubble. They have gone 2-4. And are now officially out of contention for a playoff spot. The rumors swirling in the NBA now are that coach Alvin Gentry is about to be fired.
Yeah.
He has had just one winning season in 5 with the club. A couple of candidates would be Tyronn Lue and Jason Kidd. You know, they would be able to work with old Zion there.
Yeah, we thought that New Orleans was going to be the major competitor here for the Blazers. Turns out it's the Spurs and the Suns. Suns are 6-0. They can't lose.
Yeah. They are. We'll get to that in the next little bit. I did want to mention that the Raptors are leading the Bucks right now, 75-62. And then we get Lakers Nuggets tonight, although no one seems to care because
the Lakers look awful.
They have the worst offense in the league.
Yeah, worst shooting
in
percentage.
The
they just look terrible. So the question is that Should you be concerned, or is it they just don't care?
Blazers in four.
Lakers can't shoot. They don't look good. But then again, the Blazers can't defend anyone, and
that's going to lead to such hype.
Can barely beat B squads.
Yeah, and this is also not the playoffs. Might I remind you?
True. Well, Milwaukee doesn't look good either. They look like trash.
Again, not the playoffs. Yeah. Blazers have two games left in the bubble. Now, they will play tomorrow against Dallas at 3:30 our time, and they will play Thursday against the Nets at 6. Both of those games will be on TNT.
But blacked out.
So you have to watch them on NBC Sports Northwest.
Now, if the Blazers win those two games, they are in. They are the 8 or the 9 seed, depending on what Memphis does. But if they win those two games, they will be in the playoff, the play-in game. And we are assured now there cannot be more than four games. So there will – four games separating 8 and 9. So there will be a play-in series.
There will be – it's just a matter of who.
Yes.
So like you said, the Suns won again today. They are now 6-0 in the bubble. So here are the standings. Every team has two games left. Memphis is up a half game on the Blazers, and the Blazers are up a half game on the Spurs and the Suns.
Yeah, so if you win out, you're fine. If you lose one of these – look
it depends
out.
On what the other teams do.
Which is why that Clippers loss, where the Clippers were basically trying to lose, they didn't care. That one hurt.
They're also saying that they will play those, you know, if they get into the play-in series, no matter who it is, there will be a play-in series, as you mentioned. That will be Saturday for game one, and game two will be Sunday if necessary.
And remember, the East is settled, so when you do play the Nets don't have any reason to play. The Nets are the 7th seed. So,
They also don't have any players anyway.
I'm so tired of hearing that. Like, have we learned? Okay, first of all, Kawhi goes out and everybody's like, Kawhi's out. Blazers are going to beat the Clippers. They lost. The Marlins have lost 8,000 players and they continue to win games. Yeah. How many times has it happened in the NBA where big stars are out and the other guys go wild?
I know.
Because you don't have any. You know, you don't have any tape on them. You don't know what they're doing.
It wasn't just Kawhi. They pulled Paul George in the fourth quarter and all of the starters.
Yeah, Beverly didn't play.
And they had a lead and they blew it.
How often are we going to fall for this thing? You got to win the – it doesn't matter who's playing. It's going to be tough.
But in theory, the Mavericks and the Nets should be sitting.
Well, the Mavericks sat everybody today. So –
yeah, maybe they'll play.
Maybe they'll play tomorrow.
All right. Well, number one is that the Big Ten has voted to cancel the fall college football season. Oh, wait. No, it didn't.
No.
So the report was that it was a 12-2 vote with only Nebraska and Iowa voting for a season. Now the Big Ten says there has been no vote and they are currently meeting to discuss the future of the college football season. There are reports that the Pac-12 will also cancel its season. There are even reports that some coaches have already been informed that they're going to cancel their season, but there's a big meeting of the Pac-12 minds tomorrow. The idea is they would cancel with hopes of playing in the spring, but nothing is definitive. If you're asking what changed to force this, we had John Wilner on from the San Jose Mercury News earlier in our show. You can catch that interview at 1080thefan.com under the Les Schwab podcast if you want to go listen to it. But he said, look up myocarditis. It's a heart condition that can be brought on by COVID and liability and all of these things that these university presidents are now discussing that they're fearful of. And that would be the catalyst for why they have reversed course. But nothing is set in stone. This is, though, the Mountain West did postpone its fall football season today. The MAC did the same over the weekend. So those two leagues will not play, at least not until spring.
Yeah, there was I saw a thing where the Air Force Academy said they're hoping that they might still be able to play against Army and Navy just kind of as one-offs. Then maybe they could get together with something like that. But yeah, the Mountain West said their medical advisory board said they saw no foreseeable way that they could safely play. So again, it was just a liability factor thing that ultimately ended the Mountain West season. And that seems to be the case. The university presidents are the ones doing this, not athletic directors, not coaches. The presidents are looking at this and just liability issues and safety concerns. Except for the SEC. The SEC seems to be putting their head down and they're going to try to do this.
The Hot 5 and 5 is refreshed by Coors Light. The best way to chill this summer is with Coors Light's new limited edition summer cans. Pick them up anywhere Coors Light is sold. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. All right, up next, let's talk about it. To college football or not to college football. 516 on the Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, well, 5:20, and now we don't know what's going on with college football.
No, we don't.
Well, but at the same time, there were a lot of us that, and a lot of people out there, if you're reasonable and you're following along, you've been saying all along that you'd be surprised if they were going to play, even though they keep trying to, you know, throw news at you like a 10-game schedule or here's what we're going to do and this is the protocol and this and that. Most people, if you're paying attention, are kind of going, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. Yeah. And now it appears we're closer to that scenario of you won't believe it because you won't see it.
Yeah, well, we've got, right, so the MAC, the Mountain West, they've punted officially. Division II is canceled for the year. Big Ten and
FCS and D3 as well.
Yeah, Pac-12, Big Ten on the brink. We're expecting an announcement pretty soon. SEC seems to be plowing ahead. ACC and Big 12 attempting to do the same. They don't seem to be quite as defiant. I guess there's going to be a call with the Big 12. And Bowlesby, their commissioner, said that they want their doctors on the call with the university presidents. And here's the thing. People seem to be confused here. This is not the athletic department's call. These are the university presidents that are going to make this decision, right? This is beyond athletic departments. If this was up to ADs and coaches, we all know that everyone would be the SEC and they'd be plowing ahead. And it's interesting because for Bowlesby to say that they want the university presidents to hear directly from their medical experts, we've heard from the MAC and the Mountain West, who both said the reason they canceled the season was their medical director said there's no possible way to do this. So I don't understand what medical doctors does the Big 12 has that the Mountain West and that the MAC doesn't. Or is it a matter of just resources that the bigger conferences have? I'm not certain how any of that works.
Well, maybe it's just that they haven't met with... Look, okay, so this is just how, in my head, this is how this has kind of played out. Okay, Bill?
Yeah.
All along, the ADs and the conference commissioners have wanted to play because it means money.
Absolutely.
Right?
And we know the catastrophic results if programs lose $100 million.
So they have been doing their best to put forth a plan to play.
Yeah.
What has happened now is it's getting closer to getting approval and, you know, and really buttoning this thing up. And the university presidents who aren't involved in the day to day, but are, you know, I mean, they're in charge of all of this. They're the ones that are really in charge.
Yes.
They're saying, well, wait a minute. What about this myocarditis?
Yeah. You got at least five guys in the Big Ten that have this that will not be able to play. The same thing that, one of the Red Sox starting pitchers has, and it's a result of having COVID-19.
Or it can be.
Yeah, and all of a sudden...
And now it's rare, but it can happen. Sure. And so what university presidents are looking at, and they're looking at this more globally because, well, as you have pointed out many times, they operate $7 to $8 billion of monies. Mm-hmm. That's their budget. The sports budget in total, as you brought up just in the example of Washington...
1%.
...is 1% of the whole budget that the university president oversees. So they're getting in here a little bit more reasonable... Not an interest in playing, an interest in not being sued, and suddenly, look what happens. Yeah. The tone changes. So I don't think it's that the Big 12 or the ACC or the SEC have different doctors. I think you do have different sensibilities in certain parts of the country. But I think ultimately, I don't know about you, I feel like they're all going to cancel. And they want to play. They all want to play. Mm-hmm. But... there's just not going to be a path to do it.
I tend to agree with you. And this notion that because athletes want to play and coaches want to play and ADs want to play and the fans want to go watch them, because you want something doesn't mean that it's going to happen. I mean, for instance, you could have a lot of our sales staff right now. Our building is empty. There's three people in our building right now, and we're looking at them all right here. Well, I'm not looking at me. I'm looking at two of the three.
Well, Jeff's here, our engineer.
Oh, see, no, he left.
He was back there earlier.
Yeah, he took off.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
So officially, the headcount in this
three.
Building. Are you sure?
I'm
Gustav's not down there?
No, I believe the official headcount is
Tim
three.
Taylor not in the building?
On my last run through the building there, I got a Red Mill peanut butter and chocolate oats bar, and I walked by that. No one in the building.
You didn't pay for that, did you?
Yes, I did.
You did?
Yeah.
No, I just stole one the other day. I got the banana kind.
Not me.
I
paid for mine.
Yeah, you stole it too. Look, I'm just going to admit on the air.
Yeah.
So that we don't get fired. We're stealing stuff from the little market thing.
The Aventi Market, which has been abandoned for months.
That's right. It's finder's keepers at this point. That has been abandoned.
The salad is still in there.
There is a salad that has been there for 6 months, and it is now some sort of gelatinous ooze, and there is a breakfast burrito that the mold has grown through the burrito and the wrapper, and
now through the wrapper
is turning green.
Eat it.
I feel like at this point that, yes, maybe the oat and honey bar is free game.
Right.
But my point is,
that's
right?
That's what I did, too.
Well, when we lose the Avanti Market because people were stealing, we know who to blame.
Well, hey, no. They can come in here and take all their stuff. They can. I mean, I think a one time, I'm sure if you talk to our GM and you masked up, or if it was after hours and nobody's in here, they would let them come in and get the rest of their crap.
That is true.
It's terrible. That banana thing sucks.
It's awful. I feel like it's been a bit.
I didn't want it. Even after I ate it, I didn't want it. And it was free.
My whole point before we got off on this
stolen,
is,
but
yeah, it wasn't really free.
All kinds of businesses right now where employees want to go to work and employees want to be in the building, but it's not your call. So this notion that because we want it bad enough that it's going to happen, it's ludicrous. Now, there may be some that plow ahead and together those universities and those conferences decide that, hey, we're going to take the risk on this. But if the university presidents, who again are in charge of a mission a lot greater than athletics, this notion that somehow that athletics runs universities is foolish. Like I said, I looked up the Pac-12 operating budgets for athletics, and most athletic budgets are somewhere in the neighborhood of $60 to $80 million. The total university budgets on most schools are somewhere between $2 and $8 billion. There's such a bigger thing going on here. So if ultimately the university presidents decide you're not going to play, you can't just have some school decide to willy-nilly go off and do their own. And Nebraska's making a bunch of noise now because I guess their university president was one of them that voted to play. As if Nebraska can just void their Big Ten TV deal and go sign up for the SEC, and are they going to get a cut of the SEC money? The SEC is just willing to split the pie an extra slice for them for 1 year with no penalties or anything because there's not going to be any fans in the stands. So where does Nebraska make any sort of money? And the idea that this is all going to be put together in the span of 3 or 4 weeks, it's ludicrous. You may get some conferences that plow ahead and attempt to do this. But I just think I understand why people are angry. I understand why people are frustrated because we want college football. And I do think that some people make some halfway decent points about maybe kids being safer in an environment amongst team where there's medical professionals and testing and all this. But this idea that somehow that this is it's insane that you not do this and that this is somehow politically motivated. You've lost me on this. We've wanted something so bad that we're ignoring just basic fundamental truths and we're putting our head down and saying, well, we want it, therefore,
well,
give it to me.
There is a lot of mental gymnastics going on to try to justify playing.
Yeah.
When the reality is, I think that most of those people making those statements deep down know they shouldn't play.
Yes.
But one of the things you just brought up is one that to me doesn't hold a lot of water, and that is, everybody's saying, and I know Brock Huard has said this, I think Cam said this, Joel Klatt, there are others who are saying, and then players, I think
Trevor Lawrence have both become pretty big vocal guys for this.
This thing about the players are safer within the confines of the structure of the team, mm-hmm. that is technically true in terms of what they could be doing elsewhere at that time. But why that doesn't hold water is because you are not containing them 24/7.
Nope.
So you can keep them safer for the 3 or 4 hours or maybe 5 hours with film or 7 hours with meals and everything for a day. Yes, that's probably better than what they would do otherwise. But what about the other 14 or 15 hours where they are free to do whatever they want and hang out with whoever they want, and they're young and they're going to do their thing? You can't control that. So basically it's a moot point because what college football is saying and what these presidents are saying is we don't want that blood on our hands.
Yes.
There is going to be blood. It cannot be on ours because of liability.
Yep.
So period. So unless you can make it safe enough where you can bubble these players, now you're talking. And then I think there would be a way forward where you could maybe even travel and play games with other teams who are doing the same. But that's impossible.
Yeah.
It is not possible with the college structure. So it's out. So the university, that argument is like, I get what you're saying, but it doesn't go anywhere because you can't make them safe all the time. And that's why these university presidents are having such a problem.
Yeah, most of the outbreaks that you've seen haven't necessarily been team related. They've been, you know, to frat parties. And when, as these, we welcome more kids back on campus and you're asking kids to kind of mill around and just kind of be in the general public, you're just asking for disaster. We've already seen multiple programs end up with 30, 40, you know, kids that have to quarantine because of this. And this isn't even without having full team practices yet or anything. So it just it comes down to simple liability, and that universities aren't going to run that risk. At least the majority of them aren't going to. And this is the difference between collegiate and professional. There's no unions. This isn't collectively bargained. You know, everyone's saying, oh, sign waivers. Those waivers aren't going to hold up. By the way, we've already seen multiple conferences get together and say, you can't make us sign waivers. It's just, it's...
Well, wait a minute. So you've got the players. Okay, this is another one that's weird. You've got the players with the, what is it, hashtag we want to play.
Yeah.
Led by Trevor Lawrence, and there's a lot of guys say, let us play. Jim Harbaugh has come out and said, you know, here are the facts. Here's what I've seen.
Yeah.
And they want to play. Understood. So you have players that are making all of these demands to make sure that it's safe, and one of them, at least in the Pac-12 letter, was, we cannot make it so that we have to sign waivers in order to play.
Yes.
They said that.
Big Ten as well.
We are your responsibility.
Yes.
And that's what
6 years after the fact.
The university presidents know, like, they're not adults. They're college students, which is what complicates this. These presidents know that those kids are their responsibility on their campus, enrolled in their schools.
Yes.
That's the difference. So if they don't sign waivers, then that's exactly why, again, the presidents are saying, if there's a bloodbath, it ain't going to be on our hands. So you have one group of players saying, we won't sign waivers, and you have another group of players saying, we want to play. Which is it? What are you willing to do?
And that's just the utter confusion. And you have
it makes no sense.
And you have a very limited time to try to put all this thing together, which is why, ultimately, I don't think anything happens. I think you get some that are going to try to delay. You're going to get some that are going to try to forge ahead. But I've said it all along. If you ask me, will you finish a college football season? No. And at this point, I don't even know if you get one started. And we can all be pissed about it, and we can yell and scream and bitch and moan. And I'm bummed. College football is, if it's not my favorite sport, it's number two. It's right there with the NFL. I absolutely love it. And I feel bad for athletes. I feel bad for athletic programs. I feel bad for fans. There's a lot of businesses that are attached to that. This just sucks. But yelling and screaming and claiming that this is some sort of politicized thing, or saying that this is ridiculous and that we're being a bunch of crybabies and how dare they do this, it's just uneducated old men yelling at clouds, or in this case, middle-aged guys yelling at clouds, especially when it comes from hot takes. You know, and there's a lot of these screaming hot takes coming out, and a lot of people playing fast and easy when it's not your ass on the line, whether it's your health or your liability coming down the pipe. And
all
I
right.
think university presidents have a I do not envy them. They have a very tough choice to make.
I don't envy anyone having to make any of these major decisions during COVID. This
people
is tough.
Be pissed off at you either way.
This is tough, but at the same time, it is so damn obvious that it is the right thing not to have college football. It is just so obvious. It really is. And anybody making the case otherwise, I just think you're trying to...
Well, there's an agenda.
You want them to play, so you're trying to justify that. There's no good argument on the other side. There really isn't. That is going to outweigh. Just cancel it. Yeah. And then maybe you can reconvene in spring. Maybe. Yeah. If not, bad things are going to happen for a year, if we have a year without college football in terms of the budgets and other sports. There will be casualties. That sucks. But from the fan world and just sort of the guy who likes college football world, my God, how selfish are we that we can't do without one damn season of college football if it means maybe saving a spread of COVID through a college campus or God forbid, multiple campuses. I mean, it's just, come on, man. Yeah. Think about what you're saying here. It makes no sense.
One of those things where you ever been this where you're trying to plan an activity, whether it's with your buddies or the missus or whatever, and just the gods are against you, right? At every turn, it's like, well, like you're planning a wedding. It's like, well, this venue, you're like, we can't do this. And, you know, just one thing after another just keeps getting in your way. Maybe, just maybe, you need to take a step back and realize that if you have to jump through 7 million hoops, someone's trying to tell you something. And yet it does appear that there are going to be at least one or two conferences that are going to attempt to jump through those hoops and get it in. And
I'll
it,
watch.
Yeah, me too. Like I'll watch. Whatever is going on, I just question whether or not you're going to be able to jump through enough hoops. And I'm just the yellers and screamers, the Dabos of the world and the Clay Travises. I just
Clay
think,
Travis.
Yeah.
Who listens to that guy?
Boy, I just think some of those.
A lot of people.
I think some of those, unfortunately, are going to look really, really short-sighted when this is all said and done.
All right. Text 503-250-1080. We'll get some of your thoughts in, and then we'll talk about you boys as chumps, because that.
Yeah.
Well, it's really the lead story, or at least it would have been without this college football stuff today.
It's pretty solid.
So we'll get to that coming up. Here's Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
I think I came up with an idea to fix college football. To play it. Why don't they take it to New Zealand?
Yeah, there's nothing going on there.
They haven't had a COVID case in New Zealand in 100 days.
No, they've got it figured out. There's a couple other places that are like
yes,
that.
So they will welcome in people from America with open arms.
Well, of course, that would be a bit of an issue, but, you know.
I do think that...
Maybe we force our way onto their shores.
Burn the boats, just show up there. We're invading.
This give them a cut of the profits.
This has exposed just the lack of oversight, leadership, whatever you want to call it, in college football, right? It's a multi-billion dollar business that's run by no one in particular. And if the season does go by the wayside, and at this point, it's certainly teetering, right? And regardless of whether you get a couple conferences that play or one conference, the losses are going to be staggering. At big programs, you're talking $100 million, and some of the lesser ones, $50, $60 million. You're probably going to have budgets just absolutely slashed. Some sports, non-revenue generating sports, which is basically all of them, cut. You're going to see some places maybe just go down a division in football. This is going to be devastating. But on the flip side, from the ashes of that, I do think there is a chance that college football does get rebuilt. And I think this is going to be a catalyst. I think this is going to push this forward where maybe we do see the Power Five breakaway with name, image, and likeness coming down, the players having a bigger voice in this. I think there's going to be a realization, especially next year if this COVID thing isn't over and we're still dealing with it, there has to be some sort of central leadership. And so I do think that hopefully something good can come of this mess. And because it's going to be painful, but hopefully there's some real growth and that college football emerges different, but better. Maybe not better for everybody, unfortunately, but those people are going to suffer anyways, and that maybe those that do survive this end up in a better place.
Well, I tend to think that, you know, if you're an optimistic person, I think that goes for everybody and everything when you go through something like this, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, if you want to be optimistic about it, look, this sucks. And it's going to be a while.
Yep.
And it's a major pandemic. But at the end of it, when this is all said and done, there will be a lot of recalibration all in our own personal lives and in the business world. And, you know, just any facet of life is going to change. And that doesn't always have to be a bad thing.
Yeah.
And it sucks that it came from something like this and we have to go through this. But we'll get through it. And like you said, maybe in this little facet of the world, college football will come out better. I know I'm going to come out a little different in terms of how I go about my life and just things that matter and things that don't, just in my own personal experiences, just from going through this. It really sheds a light. I was talking about this with a friend the other day about how you spend your time and why are you doing some of the things that you are doing now that COVID has come. You know, we have more free time and that feels good. Like, you know, it's like, why am I don't know. Sometimes we fill our days with crap just to be busy. And I think I have a tendency to do that at times. And now with COVID and quarantining and, you know, doing less and being out less, I'm going to change some things.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's just a small example of, I think everybody has that. So I'm just trying to look at it optimistically. A couple of texts, 503-250-1080. One says, Oh, damn it.
You lost it?
Yeah. Well, they come in so fast.
They do.
Oh, monetary casualties versus actual physical casualties. Why is this even a question? That's right. Lace them up. No, but that's what I'm saying. Why is this even a question? It's not.
Yeah.
Some people are trying to make it that, and it's maddening, but we've already covered the reasons why that's maddening.
Sure. There will be people that will say that, that don't believe that this is a real thing and don't believe that these athletes are in danger, and they think that it's a risk reward. Well, Paul Feinbaum had this, I don't remember who said it, but it was on his show. You were gone. Me and Mike were doing a show together. And Feinbaum had, it was a quote from one of the Power 5 ADs, anonymously, because they're all speaking anonymously. And he simply said, this all boils down to what is your appetite for risk? Because we know there's no real good way to do this. We know there's no real 100% safe way to do it. So it's just a matter of what is your appetite for risk? Are you willing to roll the dice and say, most of these kids are going to be okay, they're not going to spread it to anyone, and that no one is going to die from this or get seriously sick? And there are plenty of those people out there that do believe that. And for those people, they can't see why it's going to be canceled. And for those that are on the other side of it that are like, I can't believe you're even having that discussion, it seems irrational for them. And
well, this is one of those things where if you were a university president,
yep,
and you had all the information that they have and all the considerations that they have, you would make the same decision.
Absolutely.
As long as you're irrational. I mean, it's just that everybody's got hot COVID takes, mm-hmm, and we need to stop, because the people making COVID decisions at a major university on a national level have way more to think about than you do.
Yes.
And just your own sensibilities about it. So it's apples and oranges.
I keep going back to the budgetary.
It's just maddening.
I keep going back to the budgetary thing for everyone that wants to say, how can you not have athletics? University of Washington, $80 million athletic budget, $8 billion university budget. There's more going on at these universities. I think they're more concerned about finding a way to get kids on campus safely and try to just like focus on that. And I think the optics of athletics and the idea of getting someone really sick or God forbid, someone on your staff or someone on the field dying, I just think is a risk that university presidents aren't willing to take. And it does appear that a lot of people in the media and coaches and players are willing to roll that dice, but ultimately it's probably not going to be their decision. It's going to be made above their head.
Another text says, I agree that the season is probably best left unplayed, but it is a little bit frustrating when we've heard time and time again that the major cause of virus spread on campus is not from any athletic activities, but rather from frat parties and other social gatherings.
Yeah.
Canceling the football season doesn't do away with any of those. Also, if protests are allowed every day under the guise that they are safe because they're outdoors and people are masked up, where is the rest of that message? That's the other thing is they sometimes come in fragmented.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you get the point.
Yeah, his point. There will be plenty of people that are going to look at that and saying that this seems very arbitrary.
Here's the thing. Let me say something about that. And of course, it seems arbitrary, but at the same time, again, there is a liability issue that is very serious and could be very costly that these universities have to consider. So just because frats are under a different watchdog and maybe are allowed to stay open and they are having their spreads, if you then have football, what they're saying is, look, we can't keep football players or other athletes from the frats, right? They're all on campus.
Yep.
So if they intermingle and we now have football, now you have a frat spread that because of one kid or two kids or five kids that somehow weren't kept away or didn't have the right sense of mind to stay away from that frat, now it's brought into football. Now you are potentially spreading it on a football team. Now you are then potentially spreading it to another football team in the conference. And you can't take that risk.
And let me just say this too. There is a difference in a kid who's paying the school money to go there and he's showing up at his frat, his choosing, right? He comes and goes as he pleases. There is a difference there than someone that's on an athletic scholarship that's being paid to be there and is being told you need to be here, 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 go play this. You're traveling this. It is required of you because the university is requiring it. If something happens to that frat kid and something happens to the student athlete, from a liability standpoint, there's a difference there. And look, just like we said that ultimately playing the season would be because of one thing and one thing only, not because, and we're all trying to paint this out, right? Oh, well, what about the kids and, you know, their safety, and it's, you know, we want them to have the opportunity, and we're trying to make it about something that it's not. This is about budgets, right? And $100 million at big schools. And that's the reason, the only reason why this is being attempted. But at the same time, realize that the reason why it won't go down on the part of university presidents is money, because no one wants to get sued. No one wants to have the liability. So it's actually the same reason that you're trying to play this, as this, it's the same reason that it won't end up being played. So it's just a matter of which side that you're on. And unfortunately for football fans and players and coaches, the decision maker that's on the liability side, he's more powerful. He's a bigger entity there. You can't do without the university presidents, which is why we said all along that college sports was in bigger trouble, because there's a bigger mission here. When you're dealing with the NBA and the NFL or whatever, there's one mission and one mission only. Everyone's an athlete. It's a billion-dollar league. When you're dealing with colleges, you're dealing with universities, and then a tiny little piece of those universities is athletics.
Hey, you think Jim Harbaugh's wife is advocating for a college football season?
To get him out of the house.
She's like, oh my God, no, please play, please
Can
play.
Can you imagine Jim Harbaugh with a season canceled? His wife's going to be out doing gassers and like in the back. All right, honey, you need to drop it. Give me 20 right now.
Do coaches get paid if they don't play?
I don't know how all that works. I'm not certain. I'm assuming, like, I mean, they have contracts. So I'm assuming they get paid regardless, but I'll bet you, If the season gets canceled and you're talking about $100 million losses, there's going to be people that are going to be asking to take pay cuts and furloughs and all right. Options on the table.
Sure. Now, all that said, they still could play and it will be glorious because we love college football.
Yes.
But hopefully they do it right.
You're right. If the safe. SEC plays and a couple teams join them, dude, the ratings will be through the roof because it might even work. We'll all watch.
It might even work.
Exactly. Because not everyone's punting right now, right? I mean, there are plenty that are going to go in the face of this and say, no, we're going to attempt to do this. The key word there, attempt.
And so then does that mean, see, this is the hard part about these discussions. This is the last thing is if you play and it works and there are very few COVIDs, were the people who advocated for playing right?
Run that by me again.
If you play.
Yeah.
And it works, yes. Generally speaking.
Yeah.
And you don't have lawsuits, mm-hmm. and you only have a few COVIDs or whatever.
Sure,
everybody recovers, mm-hmm. and you get a half a season or a full season out of it. Were the people who advocated right now, like the people making what we think is a bad argument, they were right?
Yeah.
Well, see, I don't think they were.
Well,
I think it could have easily gone the other way. In other words, no one's right. It's just like you said. It's your level. It's the level of risk you're willing to tolerate.
It's a valid. Okay, I see where you're going with that. Because if nothing bad happens, it doesn't
necessarily mean that anyone who said you shouldn't play is wrong.
Sure.
Because of risk.
It just so happened that it turned out to be that
the
way.
Risk.
Yeah, valid point.
Right. Okay.
Valid point.
So we don't have time for the hot Blazer talk, but we're going to get it started next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, your Zers got a 51 from Dames Lils yesterday. Got the dub.
You knew that was coming Blazers. After the missed free throws and the whole, you know, you chumps beef. You knew he was going to go crazy. And by
you
the way,
boys is chumps.
They needed him to. They damn near lost to the Sixers. Embiid and Simmons.
Well, he did it. His fifth 50-point game. So the Blazers win their last two. They are in the play-in game, which would be... Game one would be Saturday. Game two would be Sunday if they needed it. Remember, if they're the 9 seed, they have to beat Memphis twice in order to get in the playoffs. So that's where we're at. I tell you, we knew the bubble would be wild, but who had Lakers offense sucks balls?
Worst in the league. Worst shooting team in the league.
Who had Phoenix Suns 6-0? Who had that?
Nobody. If it's at the beginning of this, Memphis would be 1-5. Portland still wouldn't have overtaken them, and the two main competitors right now for Portland that you're sweating are Phoenix and San Antonio, who are both half a game back.
Who had TJ Warren averaging 80,000 points a game?
If you were a casual NBA fan, were you even aware who TJ Warren was before this?
Casual?
Yeah. If you're just a casual fan, I don't think you're aware who TJ Warren is. By the way, he plays for the Pacers and he can't be stopped.
Probably not.
Before yesterday, when he decided to become human again, Gary Trent Jr. was the most dangerous threat this side of TJ Warren. And then yesterday, he actually, you know, he seemed quasi-normal. Shooting like 64% from behind the arc.
We also have Zion.
He's fat again and can't stay healthy.
Did you see his number? Minus 58.
Yeah.
In the plus minus category so far in the bubble.
Well, like there were like photos of him like training for this and he looked good. He looked in shape and then he left and he came back and he was fat and gassed again. And like that whole thing is bizarre down there in New Orleans because they were a colossal failure. There's rumors that their coach is going to get fired. And now there's a lot of whispers about whether Zion really gives a you know what about playing and he's going to eat his way out of the league and keep getting hurt. But he has to play like in bursts. Because they don't think he can hold up.
All right, well.
Bubble's wild, man. And did you see there's hotel envy? Did you read that article?
No.
Teams like the Blazers who are at the Yacht Club, it's all like a tense scene because all the teams battling for the final spots are all at the Yacht Club. So they get done playing like these dagger games and there's all this hatred and you have to see each other on the elevator. And they're all pissed because the Yacht Club sucks. So like
they got the worst hotel.
Yeah,
then,
they feel like slighted. So apparently there's all this like tension at the at the Yacht Club because it's not as nice as the other hotels.
Staying at the worst hotel.
It's a motivator, man.
It's motivating them.
Chip on the shoulder.
Meanwhile, the Lakers are at the nicest hotel and they suck.
Boy, I'll tell you what. I don't know whether this is just a one, you know, it's the bubble and it's a one-off and who cares, but the Lakers don't look good. They really don't.
How many times have we said that about a LeBron team going into the playoffs?
I know, but I get it. If you're a Blazer fan and you end up with the 8 seed and there's a long way to go, and you haven't looked great either. That's the other thing, too, is Blazer fans like, yeah, the Lakers look vulnerable. So do you. You're barely beating C squads. Like, you're eking out games, and you had to go to OT to beat Memphis, who stinks. So it's not like Portland's just rolling and cruising right now, but I get why whoever is the 8 seed, whether it's Memphis or Phoenix or San Antonio or Portland, I get why teams are looking at L.A. and being like, maybe. Just make no home court, and the Lakers can't shoot a lick.
Y'all are funny.
I know.
All right. Well, we got to move on.
I'll still take the Clips.
I know. I know we're funny, but.
I'm taking the Clippers.
Oh, we got to move on to the club. Stop talking sports. You have to stop.
Okay.
No one wants sports right now. It's 6 o'clock. Okay. People are tuning in to hear your banter about God knows what.
Look up Paul George, and with his new afro, if you ever watch Chappelle's show, he looks exactly like when Dave Chappelle played Leonard Washington, and it makes me happy every time I see Paul George. All Paul George needs is a cigarette dangling from his mouth. During the break, look up Leonard Washington Chappelle show and tell me that that doesn't bear a striking resemblance to Paul George with his new afro. I desperately want Paul George to start playing with a cigarette in his mouth and going by Leonard Washington.
All right, what are the odds of catching COVID on a plane? Somebody put the numbers to that, and we'll get to that to kick off the club next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.